Welcome everybody to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. Welcome if you're tuning in online. My name's Wade, if you don't know me. And thank you all that are here in person. I'm glad you came. Let me open this up in a word of prayer and we'll just get right into the message. Father, I just thank you for the message that you've laid on my heart, God. I know it applies to my life and I think it applies to many of us, God. I just pray that you would open our hearts and minds, Lord, to receive what it is that you're saying. And Lord, I just pray for everybody that is not here. I pray for safety for those that are traveling. I pray for healing for those that are sick, God. And I just pray for comfort for those that are going through really hard things right now. I just pray that you'd help us to turn to you for those things, Lord, instead of turning to the world. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, thank y'all for coming out. I know it's all hot and humid outside, but I'm glad to see y'all. Things are wobbling. If you were here last week, we mostly talked about King David and Solomon. King David, the man after God's own heart, and Solomon, the Bible says, was the wisest man that ever lived. And we talked about how even them, you know, great men of God, that some days in their life, they got up and they grew complacent in their faith. And they made the choice to be disobedient to God. And we use them kind of as an example that, you know, if great men of God like that can be led away from God and let their faith grow cold and to the point that they're, you know, willfully disobedient to God, then we should be on guard that we don't do the same things. And, you know, we talked about how we don't keep our hearts and our minds focused on God, then our minds and our hearts will drift away from God. And they'll eventually will turn to, you know, how can I satisfy myself? Because without God in our lives, that's usually where we wind up. We wind up trying to please ourselves. And that's what both of them did. So we just kind of used them as an example last week. You know, if it can happen to them, it can happen to us. So tonight, I want to talk about something that goes right along with that. I tell you all the time that, you know, when I finish the message on Wednesday night, I start praying right then that God will show me what he wants me to talk about the next week so I can be studying on it and, you know, brushing up on it a little bit. But this week, he didn't really give me anything like he normally does, a new direction to go. He kind of kept me right here where I was. And he kind of just told me to just pick up where you left off, you know, like I wasn't done with that message. And we talked last week about the biggest thing in their lives, the reason they grew complacent in their faith is because they ran out of things to do, I believe. You know, David was building a kingdom and he was, you know, getting the kingdom of Israel the way, you know, establishing it as a kingdom. And when he got all the things built and the kingdom established, then he just got complacent and bored. And Solomon, when he got done building the Lord's temple and his house and all that, I think he got complacent and bored. And that's what led them into disobedience. But tonight, I want to focus on something else that I think causes us to stray away from God and gets our focus off of God where it should be. God gave me this as an illustration, and you'll hear it all through the message tonight, but I'm sure you've all heard a story at some point in your life about teaching a little girl or a little boy, you know, how to ride a bicycle in a parking lot, and then there's one pole in the parking lot, and you tell them, don't focus on that pole, you know, and you tell them that, and they're like, okay, and then they take off on their bike, and where do they head? They're trying not to focus on the pole, but that's all they can see, and they run directly into it. They always go straight to the pole because that's what they're focused on, and they run right into it. And you know, I've seen a lot of that on America's Funniest Home Videos and stuff, and it's funny to see stuff like that, but it's not so funny, you know, when we do that same thing in our lives. You know, whatever we're focused on, that's what we're gonna gravitate towards. When we see somebody drifting away from God, you know, people like to think that that person must be living in sin. They must have sin in their life because they're not coming to church, or they're not doing this, or they're not doing that. But that's just not true. You know, that's not always the case when somebody's not showing up. Drifting away from God will lead you to sin in your life when you start depending on yourself. Because when you drift away from God, you know, we don't have the Holy Spirit to guide us and protect us and lead us. And we wind up leaning back to our own understanding. And we wind up dealing with things or coping with things in unhealthy ways. But I believe the main reason we drift away from God is not sin in our lives or complacency like we talked about last week. I think the main reason we see people drift away from God is because of the problems that they have in their lives. We become so focused on whatever problem we're facing in our lives that, just like the kid riding that bicycle, that problem becomes our pole and we're just drawn to it. You know, it becomes our point of focus. And we become so consumed by whatever that problem is, whatever's going on around us, that's all we can focus on. And we wind up in the middle of our storm without the only one that can get us through that storm. Because we're so focused on the storm itself, just like Peter when he tried to walk on the water. You know, when he took his eyes off Jesus and started looking at the waves, the Bible says he sunk like a stone. He dropped immediately. And we do the same things. We'll get so focused on our problems in our lives that we just drift away from God and we're not even aware of it. So what I want to talk about tonight is God has to be our pole. God has to be our focus. He has to be our center. And when we do that, it don't matter what's going on around us, because we know God is there to help us through it. I love this verse in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And that's true. I've experienced that in my life. You know, when I keep my mind on God, even when things are falling apart around me, I know God is faithful. I know God never leaves us. I know God never forsakes us. And no matter how hard it is, I know I'm going to get through it. I know it's temporary. I know it's just a season. You know, the Spirit of God reminds me of those things. But if my focus is not on God, then I don't know it's temporal. I don't know it's a season. I'm not sure if I'm going to get through it. So that's why it's important. God has to be our pole. He's got to be our center. So even in hard times, we know eventually this is going to be all right. That's why I share with you Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6 almost every week without fail. You know, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." You know, we need to do those things every day, but we especially need to do those things when we're going through, you know, really hard times. And it seems like when we need the Lord the most, that's when we drift away from him, because our focus is not on him. We get so focused on our problems, we don't take time to read his word like we, you know, normally would or should. You know, we start skipping our devotionals because our mind is so sidetracked with our problems, and we're not praying like we should. Or, I've heard people say a whole lot, you know, especially here lately, "I don't have time to go to church. I got to stay home and deal with this problem." You know, that sounds okay, but that's not the way it should be. If you've got a problem, you know, the bigger the problem, the bigger the need for God. You know, you should be seeking him instead of seeking your problem. Your problem's not going anywhere. But it'd be a whole lot easier to solve if we've got God to direct our path and lead us the way we need to go. that's when we need God the most. I shared a verse with you last week out of Psalm 46 and verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Those are the things we need when we're going through a hard time. We need a refuge we can run to. We need strength and we need help. And God promises us those things if we'll just seek Him instead of, you know, diving headfirst into our problems. I love the way he puts it in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is safe. So the name of Jesus is a strong tower. So we should be running into it where we know we're safe. Or we can just run into our pole of our own understanding and watch things fall apart around us. And that's the way a lot of us do. That's the way I've done a lot in my past. You know, the enemy, he is real deceitful. You won't even know you're doing it. He'll have you going that direction, and you don't even see yourself drifting away from God. The Bible says in Genesis that the enemy is more subtle than any other beast. You know, you won't see him doing it. He's that good at it. You'll wake up one morning and you'll be just up to your neck in your problem and be like, how did I get here? It's because we got our focus off of God. But he wants us to think that you have to fix everything yourself. And when we do that, that's how we start. And not just away from God, we start separating ourselves. You know, we start believing that nobody cares. We start believing that God don't care. That's how we wind up getting depressed. That's how we wind up getting angry. That's how we wind up going back to our old coping mechanisms that God has already freed us from. And, you know, even after we walked in the freedom that God has given us, if we don't keep our focus on Him, like I said, the enemy is very deceitful. You'll wind up back where you started and wonder how you got there. You know, if we turn back to our old coping mechanisms, whatever that is for you, you'll not only wind up neck deep in your problem and making it worse, but you'll be developing a sense of resentment towards people that don't have problems. You'll wind up having resentment towards the church or towards God or God's people when they didn't have anything to do with the problem that you're dealing with. You know, Josh was preaching Sunday. I wasn't here Sunday, but I watched his sermon. And he said, you know, the title of his message was God Knows. And not only does God know, God cares. He really cares about what you're going through. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it tells us to cast our care upon Him because He cares for you. And His people care for you too. So, you know, if all we focus on is our problems, we'll start thinking God does not care. And we'll start thinking His people don't care either. And we'll start avoiding God. We'll start avoiding His people. We'll start avoiding coming to church. I like the way James puts it in James chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, you have not because you ask not. I'll read that whole verse and then we'll talk about it a little bit. It says, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, but you have not because you ask not. So he says you have not because you ask not. You know, when we're going through a hard time or a problem, we desire to have peace with whatever that problem is, whatever you're facing. And you can fight and fight, but you cannot obtain it. You know, he's talking more in that verse about being selfish and arguing with another believer. But trying to face our problems on our own, that makes us selfish and resentful towards other people. So, you know, if you are in the middle of a really hard problem right now, have you asked for help? You know, I was talking with somebody yesterday, and we were talking about how as believers, most of the time, and I do this myself, we're really quick to help somebody else when they have a problem. But when it comes to dealing with my problems and my stuff, you know, I got a tendency, I just want to bottle it up and keep it to myself. And the only problem with that is, if I don't communicate my problem, it really does start to consume my mind and every part of my being, and eventually it'll start affecting my actions. You know, I won't be serving the Lord like I should, or focusing on Him like I should. I won't be doing my job to the best of my ability. It affects every area of our lives when we let our problems just overwhelm our minds like that without dealing with them. You wind up focused on your problem and nothing else. And whether we want to admit it or not, it affects every relationship we have. You know, with our children, with our spouse, with God, with our friends. Like I said earlier, the enemy is very deceitful. You won't even see that stuff happening. And he knows if he can just get you focused on your problem, then you're not going to be focused on the things of God. You're not going to be focused on your family the way you should be. You're not going to be focused on your friendships the way that you should be. And if I'm consumed with my problems, I'm not going to be the witness that I should be for God. I'm not going to be the example that I should be. It really does affect every area of our lives. You know, I'm not going to share Christ with somebody else if all I'm worried about right now is myself and what I'm going through. Or if I'm in a ministry, I might go through the motions and be there, but I can't wholeheartedly do what God has called me to do if my heart and my mind are someplace else, being consumed by something else. You know, I can't, like I said, like I've been telling you, I can't focus on my friends or my spouse or my children or anybody else's needs if I'm completely focused on my own needs. That's how we wind up just totally isolated. Even if we're at church, even if we're in the middle of a crowd, we still, in our minds, are isolated. You know, we're not opening up. We're not getting the healing that we need. So no matter what somebody's telling us, we're not really listening to them. We can't hear it. Because in the back of our minds, we're still focused on that problem that we have not dealt with. That's why God says, bring it to me and cast your cares on Him, like we just read back in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. God's telling us, trust me with this. Stop letting it consume you. Go do what you're supposed to do, and I'll work on this for you while you're doing that. I've shared this verse with you before, and it showed up in my devotions this week too, so I think God wants me to share it with you again. You know, in Matthew chapter 10, that's when He sends His disciples out by twos to go into the cities and the villages and preach the gospel. But in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1, while He sent them out to go into the cities and preach the gospel, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus has made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, then He departed to each of their cities to preach and to teach. So while they were serving Him and doing what He called them to do, He was taking care of their homes. He was taking care of their families. And we know Peter had a wife because it says Jesus healed her. But healed her, his mother-in-law. But while we're doing what God has called us to do, instead of worrying about our problems, God will take care of our problems. He has done that in my life. If we're just faithful and do what God is calling us to do, He will take care of our stuff. And when I say God will take care of stuff, most of the time, He does this through other people. He does it through the body of Christ. And that's why community is so important. You know, we are God's hands and feet. That's what the body of Christ is. We're supposed to do the work of God while we're here. And that's why fellowship is so important. That's why we're always talking about the church family. We're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about a community of believers. It's that important that we grow in those relationships with each other and grow in unity so that we can be there for one another and we can help one another. You know, I gave you an example a few weeks ago. We were talking about the feeding of the 5,000. Well, really, it was probably closer to 20 or 25,000, counting women and children. They didn't include them. But, you know, I told you, I can't feed 5,000 people, and neither can you. But when we're all united together as the body of Christ, when we're all in community, when we all give just a little bit, together we can feed 5,000 people. Just like Josh was talking about a while ago, that's why we have the food ministry. That's why we have the food pantry. You know, we've got faithful people always bringing in food. They don't bring enough to feed 5,000, but they bring in enough to feed a family for a few days. And if we're all doing that, that piles up. It's called compound interest. And eventually we have enough food for thousands. You know, there's strength in being part of the family of God. You know, there's no way I could have faced all the things that I've been through by myself. But with the help from the people God has placed in my life, He's got me through every struggle, every trial that I've been through. And He did all that without my help. You know, while I was seeking Him, while I was focused on Him, it wasn't until I took my hands off of my problems that God started to work on them. And my problems started going away. They started getting solved. They started getting taken care of. You know, that's where healing starts taking place, is when we get out of the way and let God work and let Him be God. So while I was focused on Him, He was taking care of my problems. And I've never seen anybody going through something that came at this church and asked for help that they didn't get. You know, time after time after time, I've seen God's people rally together and get amazing things done that people can't do by themselves or on their own. You know, I can't afford to buy school supplies for 150 kids by myself, but, you know, right there on the back wall, that's proof that together we can do those things as a church family, as the body of Christ. And I'm not just talking about physical stuff or material stuff. I've seen people that were so deep in depression that they never thought they would get out of it. Couldn't even think about getting out of depression. Couldn't even fathom getting any better, you know, or stuck in an addiction they never thought they could get free from. You know, I was one of those, but my focus can't be on me. If I'm depressed and that's all I think about is me, you know, that's just going to depress me even more. I've told you a bunch of times that a depressed person can't cheer up a depressed person. And if I'm angry and all I think about is what is making me angry, then that's just going to make me even madder. Or if I'm sad because the loss of somebody or something, and that's all I think about, that's just going to make me even sadder. So, you know, the answer to a lot of our problems is just getting in service for God and let Him work on our problems and share with each other what we're going through. You know, we can help one another. So what is your pull? You know, I think we all have a pull. I don't know anybody right now that's not dealing with something pretty major in their life. So I think we've all got something to some point that is consuming our thoughts so much that we can't focus on anything else. You know, and that really is a problem. If we don't deal with our pull, it will eventually destroy us. It'll destroy our relationships. It affects everybody around us. So we have to face it, and we have to deal with those things. I had a lot of pulls in my life, and I never could pull one up by myself. You know, I tried and tried and tried. And the only thing I did trying to fix my own problems was, like I said earlier, make them worse. I had to take it to God, and I had to accept the help that God offers through His people. One of my biggest problems, one of the biggest things that kept me back from change, was I was too proud to accept anything or any help from anybody else. And I think that's a lot of people are stuck right there. The help is there. People are willing to help. God is willing to help. We're just not willing to admit that we need help. But when we do, the help is there. You know, I was talking with another guy yesterday, and he said that he just couldn't admit that he couldn't do something on his own. You know, his pride wouldn't let him. And, you know, what? There's not a whole lot you can say to that, except, okay, you know, keep running into that pole. But if we go back to James chapter 4 and verse 6, it tells us, but God gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud. So as long as we're fighting God, as long as we got to be in charge and we won't say, I need help and humble ourselves, then we're stuck right there. But the next line says, but God gives grace to the humble. It says we not only have to ask for help, it says we need to humble ourselves and realize that we need help. You know, we need grace. We need mercy. We need that strength that we talked about earlier. You know, we're not all-powerful beings. I was thinking about this last night, and this thought came to me, you know, I'm a man. And what I mean by that is, I'm just a man. You know, I'm a thing that God created. I'm just a thing that God made out of dirt. You know, what makes me think that I can do anything without God? You know, I'm pretty much mud. I'm just made out of dirt without God. But he loved me enough to give me life. He breathed life into me. He loved me enough to give me a soul and make me unique, unlike any other person on the planet. You know, he loved me enough to die for me and place his spirit in me so that I could have eternal life. So shouldn't I trust God? You know, if he designed me and made me and designed and made everyone else and everything else on the planet and the planet itself and the universe, you know, shouldn't I trust God? Shouldn't I know in my heart that his way is the way and not my way? You'd think we would, but when we get focused on our problem, we just forget that. It's hard to remember that when all you're focused on is your problem. I think Josh brought this verse up on Sunday too in Psalm 103 in verse 14. It said, for God knows our frame. He remembers that we're just dust. You know, God remembers we're dust. And I think we need to remember that about ourselves too. We try to put more on ourselves than we can handle. And God didn't design us that way. And even more important than that, I think this is very important. I think we need to remember that everybody else is made out of dirt too. You know, even the people that make us mad, the people that hurt our feelings, the people that do us wrong. You know, without God, all we are is dirt with a sin nature. You know, we're going to hurt one another. Without God, we're not holy. Without God, we're not good. We don't have those qualities without him. So we need to, when you think about it that way, it's a whole lot easier to overlook somebody else's faults and realize, you know, they're just like me. They're human. They're just dust, just like that verse says. But with God, if God is our pole, if God is our focus and we keep it there where it should be, then we become more than just dirt. You know, we become new creatures, Paul says. And we become divine beings with the Spirit of God inside of us. And through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we're able to comfort one another. Through God, we're able to love one another. We're able to forgive one another. All those things that we can do through God, we can help one another. We can't do those things without him. And we won't do those things without him. You know, I'm not saying don't focus on your problems at all. Problems are real. Problems are very real. But don't make them your main center of focus. Don't make them your pole. Make God your pole. And focus on God. Take your problems to him and acknowledge him in your problems, like it says to him in Proverbs 3, verse 6. Acknowledge him in all your ways, not just your good ways, and say, oh, this is a blessing, in your bad ways too. Say, God, things are falling apart. I don't know what to do. And it says, he shall direct your paths. We have to believe God's word is true, and we have to trust him. You know, like I said a minute ago, if he's God enough to create me and breathe life into me, make me unique and create everything else that I can see and touch, and even things I can't see and touch, we should be able to trust him enough to acknowledge him in everything that we're going through and trust that he will direct our paths. And we need to talk with God's people, with our church family. And we need to ask for help when we need it. And you will get it. Like I said, I have never seen anybody ask for help and get rejected. That just don't happen. So if you know, maybe you're going through a health problem that you never had before. I've done that. And that can be scary. It can be frustrating. It can be depressing. You know, I remember when I had cancer, when I was going through that, I was all those things. You know, I was frustrated. I was depressed. I was angry. I didn't know what to do. You know, I was just overwhelmed with it. But I definitely didn't go through it alone. I went to the cancer center. I went to people who knew what they were doing. I went to people who could help me with the problem that I had. You know, I could have stayed home. Where would I be today if I would have stayed home and tried to treat myself? You know, it would have killed me. And so I went to where I could get some help. And that's what the church should be. You know, if you're grieving or if you're hurting, it don't matter what's causing it. You know, whatever your problem is, if it's hurting you, it's real. And if it's scary to you, it's real. You know, if it breaks your heart, it's real. If it makes you angry, it's real. You know, don't let anybody tell you how you feel. You know, don't let anybody tell you that's silly or that's stupid. Or, you know, if it's bothering you and it's become your focus, then it's a problem. And it is real to you, no matter what anybody else says about it. So don't let anybody tell you that it's silly or stupid. If you need help, ask for it. You know, share what you're going through. God didn't design us to carry any of that by ourselves. You know, don't let it consume you. Share your burden and distribute the weight. You know, once you, even if the problem is still there, as soon as you share it with somebody else, it feels like it weighs about half what it did before you did that. And the more people you get involved, it seems like the less weight that you're under. It takes some of the weight off of you. It gets the stress off of you. You know, that's how God designed us to be. I'm going to share a few verses with you real quickly about that. And these are just a few of them. The Bible's full of verses that we're supposed to help one another. We're supposed to help bear one another's burdens. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, it says, whether one member suffers or all the members suffer with it. It's talking about the body of Christ. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So if you're suffering, all the other members are supposed to be part of your suffering. They're supposed to go through it with you. They're supposed to help you in it. Or if things are going good with you, then the members are supposed to rejoice with you. And that's what the next verse says in Romans chapter 12, verse 15. It says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Galatians 6, 2. It says to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ, if you remember, is love God with all your heart, your soul, your body, your mind, and your strength. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. So when we're bearing one another's burdens, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. You're not supposed to go through it on your own. And finally, the last one I'm going to share with you on that, just because of time's sake, is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I share these with you a lot too, verses 3 and 4. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So when God gets us out of our pit, you know, we don't just go rejoice about that. We look for other peoples that are going through the same things that we've been through. That's why community is so important. Once I get to know you and you get to know me, and, you know, I can tell when you're not right. You can tell when I'm not right. We can tell when each other are hurting, and we can reach out to each other and get the help that we need. So, think about this week. You know, what is your poll? If you just tuned in or if you got here late, we started off with, you know, if you're teaching a little boy or a little girl to ride a bicycle in a parking lot, and there's one pole at the corner of the parking lot, you tell them, don't look at that pole, you know, don't focus on that, just ride out here, then their focus is going to be on that pole, and they're going to run right into it. And tonight's message was about, you know, what is your pole? What is the problem in your life that's getting all your attention, all your focus, and consuming your mind? What is consuming your mind so much that you can't focus on anything else? Find out what that is. Think about it. Ask God to reveal it to you. But if it's on your mind that much, you won't have to ask because you already know what it is. So whatever that is, share that with God. Share it with someone else and quit trying to do it all by yourself. And I promise you, if you'll do that, if you'll bring it before God like His Word says, and share it with His people and ask for help like it says in James, then you will find the freedom that you've been looking for, and you'll find some relief that you need to move on. You know, your problem might not disappear, but you won't be facing it all by yourself and carrying all that weight yourself. And like I just said, once you share that with others and get it off your chest, it's nowhere near as heavy. Counseling really does help. Friendships really do help. If you're trying to do everything by yourself, nobody was designed to carry that kind of weight. I think Josh said in his message on Sunday too, if you're trying to bury something, you're not burying it. It's on top of you and it's burying you. And the weight of that thing is holding you down. So, you know, don't be so hard on yourself. Like I just said, just remember that you're just dirt. And quit putting that much pressure on yourself. Get some help. You know, make God your focus. Make God your pole. Run into Him, like we read earlier in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. It says, God is our tower of strength. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is safe. So let's, instead of running into our problems, running into our pole, let us run into His strong tower where it's safe and not deeper into our problems. And I really do hope that helps somebody, but I always want to remind you that the first step to any kind of help or any kind of freedom, if you haven't done it already, is surrendering your will and your life to Jesus Christ. So if you're watching online and you've never done that, you don't have to be in church to turn your life over to Jesus. You don't have to be in church to get saved. You know, that's not what the Bible says. It says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. It says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and you believe that He died on the cross for your sins, and He rose the third day to pay for your sins, then you are saved. It says, but if you confess it with your mouth, unto salvation. So if you made that decision tonight, share that with somebody else. Confess it with your mouth, and know in your heart that you are saved. And you are a part of the family of God. And God is there for you. God's people are there for you. And it don't matter what your past is. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter where you've been. Because Romans 10 and verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not based upon your... Nobody is worthy of the Lord. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, that while we were sinners, that's when Christ died for us. He didn't tell you to straighten up, get yourself worthy, and then I'll approve you. But it says God commends His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So don't let people tell you you've got to get it all together and then come to church. That's backwards. You bring yourself the way you are and give yourself and surrender yourself to Jesus Christ. And He will help you make the changes you need to make in yourself. But thank y'all for coming out if you're here tonight, and thank you for tuning in if you watched online. I really hope that helps somebody. If you're dealing with something and it's just overwhelming you and consuming your mind, share that with somebody. Get some help with it. And I promise you, you will find some relief if you seek it. God's word is true, and God is faithful. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. But let me close us in a word of prayer, and we will be dismissed. Father, I just thank you again for this message that you gave me tonight. It really has opened my eyes to some things in my life, Lord, that have been taking way too much of my focus that I need to be dealing with. And I believe it has us all thinking about something in our lives, Lord, that we need to get rid of or work on, God, so we'll quit stealing our focus and we can get it back on you where it belongs. Father, I pray that you'd help us to stay in tune with you through your Holy Spirit and to stay united so that we can reach out and help one another, Lord, the way that you designed us to do and be the body of Christ. Lord, I just pray again for those that are at home that are hurting and going through problems and can't be here. I pray for those that are sick, God. I just pray that you'd comfort them and touch them where they are. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get home safely. And Lord, we just give you all the honor and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.